spirit versus matter, divine mind versus so-called mortal mind. At the very beginning of the Bible is a book entitled Genesis. And the very first chapter, up through verse 3 of chapter 2, there is a complete record of creation, or it could be interpreted as revelation. At the very beginning of the textbook of Christian Science, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, who humbly states that she was a scribe under the orders of God, and she was not really the author, that God is the only source of all reality. In fact, all reality is stated as being God. This recording is about the system of divine metaphysics and how it applies to individual lives regarding the items just mentioned. Everything begins with the word birth. B-I-R-T-H. The terms creation or revelation apply to this term birth, the same as we referred to the first book in the Bible of Genesis. In the textbook, chapter 14 is entitled Recapitulation, which is a recap of chapters 1 through 13. It is in Q&A format, and the last question is, have Christian Scientists any religious creed? Answer, they have not, if by that term is meant doctrinal beliefs. The following is a brief exposition of the important points or religious tenets of Christian Science. 1. As adherents of truth, we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life. Since it is the last question of the chapter, that is a recap of the first 13 chapters, this is basically a summary of the summary. And it says, the following is a brief exposition of the important points or religious tenets of Christian Science. 1. As adherents of truth, we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life. This one short sentence is packed full of a lot of ideas to contemplate. The first is as adherents of truth, meaning that Christian Scientists are going to adhere to the truth. And truth is a capital T, meaning God. We take the inspired word of the Bible. That is the opposite, in most cases, of what the word says in a literal sense. So this is referring to the spiritual sense of the word of God. And of course, it's referring to the Bible as the source of the word of God. And the last phrase, as our sufficient guide to eternal life. In other words, a Christian Scientist does not have to look elsewhere. And she clearly states that the Bible was her only source that she used other than the words that were dictated to her directly by God. So if she feels it was sufficient for her to discover this great thing entitled Christian Science, and that it will provide the tools to establish eternal life individually, and if it's going to be eternal, it has to be based on spirit, not matter. For everyone knows that matter comes and goes. Spirit is the only thing that is forever. It is infinitely eternal. Based on this being the very first of the tenets, and there are six of them in total, it must be estimated that she felt this is the first thing that we have to have clear in our thought if we're discussing what a Christian Scientist needs to adhere to as the number one thing. And of course, as mentioned at the beginning of this recording, the Bible, book Genesis, chapter 1, is the beginning. Man is a generic term as used in the Bible. And so Mary Baker Eddy follows through with that same idea, utilizing man not as a male, but as a generic name for everyone, man, woman, and child, male or female. Now, when I say male, I refer to qualities that are normally attributed to the male, such as strength, courage, those kinds of things. And when I say female, I refer to things such as the tenderness and kindness and the nurturing qualities of a mother. I think you will find, if you ask women what kind of a man do they prefer, if there's someone that is talking to them, I think you will find that they will say someone that is gentle and kind and considerate and loving. Therefore, they're saying that the man that they would like to be talking to is one that is expressing qualities of a female. And if you talk to a man and ask him if he were talking to a woman, what kind of qualities would he like to have her express, they are probably going to be very much the same. So no matter whether it is a man referring to a woman or a woman referring to a man, they both appreciate the qualities that are normally attributed to a female. Now that does not mean that a woman does not appreciate the strength and courage of a man to be exercised when it is needed. And it doesn't mean that a man doesn't appreciate a woman that can exercise the qualities of strength and courage when it is needed for the woman. So the real man that is referred to in the Bible, which follows through in Science and Health, is really a complete individual expressing the qualities of both, male and female. And the same about a child. Do you think that a man is looking for a woman that is guilty, and a woman looking for a man that is guilty or innocent? A child represents innocence, untarnished by the lie upon lie that is permeated throughout humanity for the entire history of when humanity first began. So the word man is very broad, but in all respects, it should be spiritual in nature. Otherwise, it is not part of reality. So if we're going to look at the Bible from a Christian Science perspective, we're not going to be looking for a literal sense, but a spiritual sense. And what does it say in Genesis chapter 1 about man? God is speaking, and he says, "Let us make man in the image and after the likeness of himself, God." And then he says, "God made man in the image and likeness of himself, the image and likeness of God." So the first statement says, are you going to open your consciousness and listen to what I'm telling you and live it? Otherwise, there's no use in me telling you what the facts are. And then he tells you what the facts are. So let us open our consciousness and then put this in there. Now, at the end of the spiritual record of creation, and as I said, that ends in chapter 2, verse 3, the very last thing God says is that everything he made is very good. Mary Beck Ready defines good on page 587 as being God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. That doesn't leave anything out. And omni means one only in all. And spirit is substance. And spirit is defined as flawless. So it's perfect. So good means perfection. It means a spiritual nature, not matter. In other words, has nothing to do with the thing sitting inside of a skull called a B-R-A-I-N, brain. Genesis doesn't say anything about a brain. Mary Baker Eddy doesn't say anything about a brain being a part of the spiritual man that is referred to in the Bible. And yet, she says that man is a reflection, you know, stating what's in the Bible, that man is a reflection of God, and that God is omni-intelligent, because that's a part of omniscience, omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. So man is omni-intelligent, but brain has nothing to do with the omni-intelligence of man. In fact, nothing to do with the physical body is a part of the spiritual man. Everything has to be viewed from a spiritual light, a spiritual perspective. When we see an individual, when we're talking to them, when we're thinking about them, for whatever reason, our focus should be on the spiritual qualities, not on a physical appearance. Physical comes and goes. Spiritual is permanent. If we're thinking about the birth of anything or anyone, by anything I mean like an event, suppose you're building a building, that could be considered an event. No matter what you're doing, you could be preparing food for the family or for yourself. That's an event. It doesn't matter what the event is. The first tenet of Christian Science says we need to be adhering to the truth. And it's capital T, and words that are capitalized by Mary Baker Eddy are a statement that she's talking about God. So no matter what we're doing, we should be thinking about God. One of the most brilliant practitioners of Christian Science of all time is Frederick L. Rawson. And he was looking out the window with a Christian Science friend by the name of Spalding. And both of those gentlemen are authors listed on the website of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. And there was an accident to belief that occurred right while they were looking out the window, where an animal that was pulling a cart full of rocks raised up and dumped it on the driver, who happened to be back there examining it, examining the tailgate. Covered him up. Doesn't say, but he could very well have been declared dead if he were examined by a coroner. Mr. Rawson stated five words. There is nothing but God. The man came out from underneath those rocks like it was a rocket, coming right through the pile of rocks. Totally unscratched. Total perfect health. Now the words that Frederick L. Rawson said was, there is nothing but God. Saying the words don't mean a thing if you don't understand and don't have a conviction of what you're saying. Now, by understand, if you research the word understand, it means you really know that it's true. Now, the only way you can know something is true is if you have tested it and convinced yourself that, yes, this is true. So he had demonstrated, proven for himself, that it was true that God is in control of everything all the time, and that God is harmonious. Everything is always in balance. There is no death. There's no accident. There's no injury. He had proven these things in his practice of Christian Science. So he could very well have been making the statement for the benefit of Mr. Spalding, who observed the same thing, or anyone else that may have been observing it. He was making a declaration of truth for all humanity. And he was reflecting that truth out into universal thought. The power that was behind that truth is what healed the man. Mary Baker Eddy says, the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. There's a direct example of applying that, and it worked. The inspiration for this recording was waking up this morning with the thought that the general population is really dumb. D-U-M-B. Stupid. Ignorant, an absence of knowing anything of value. And evil, so-called, has been on a warpath to advertise for a very long time that we're born that way. We're born with defects, not perfection. We're born as a mortal, not an immortal. We will go through a period as a group that increases in information, peaks out, declines, losing capacity of memory, whatever we had previously, and becoming useless, and then lifeless. And they pound it into us all the time. They make a big deal out of accidents, out of death. Death ceremonies are elaborate. If it's a popular person, they could make it last for several days. They first announce it. Then there's mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Through the media. About what a great loss this is. Then they have the ceremony. Some religions have an actual party after the ceremony of the death. In many cases, the death of an individual gives them more promotion than their life. Often, people that don't even think of the individual when they're alive think of them when they pass on. So what are the claims about the population being ignorant or limited? Now it is popular to talk about DNA. That is supposed to be what makes us tick. What are the genes based on our mother and father and going back maybe to all the way to Adam and Eve. And again, this is a material perspective. But how much credence should we give to a material perspective when the very first book in the Bible is about spiritual man? A man that is perfect. In the image and likeness of God. Mary Baker Eddy gives us a very important definition that is clear, very easy to remember. We could think about it in moments all day long. We have a lot of idle moments usually that are wasted. On page 465, that same chapter, 14, which is a summary of 1 through 13, she says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On page 587 in the glossary, chapter 17, she defines God with an emphasis on some particular words, and she says that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. all substance, intelligence. On page 591 of the glossary, she gives us a very short definition of man. The compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind, really packed full of information. Infinite spirit doesn't say anything about matter here. And we already mentioned that spirit is flawless. Do you ever think of criticizing anyone? Where are you getting the facts? This says that man is infinite spirit. And spirit is flawless. So what are you criticizing? Who are you criticizing? It says the spiritual image and likeness of God. So you must be criticizing God. If you criticize man, you're criticizing God. Because man is the image and likeness of God. It states that in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And in the summary of Christian Science, which she defines in the glossary, the same thing. So you're not getting it from Mary Baker Eddy, and you're not getting it from God. So where are you getting it? You're getting it from the false belief that man is of the heritage of a DNA that is full of flaws. You can take it all the way back to Adam and Eve. Big mistake. The last phrase in the definition of man is the full representation of mind. Mind is omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, omni-knowing. Mind is creative ability, capacity, capability, functionality, facility, action, power. And you're going to call that man, someone that has a problem that is so obvious to you that you're going to criticize them? We are looking at the wrong concept of man if we think of anything that's different than what has been defined in the Bible and supported by the years and years of spiritual inspiration that Mary Baker Eddy has condensed down to her writings that are very clear. If you study the textbook, you will find that there is not a single thing that is wishy-washy. Everything is very direct and clear and stated in many different levels. So no matter where you are in your spiritual advancement, you will learn something new every single time if you approach it on the basis of being fresh and never saw it before. Something new will be revealed to you. Einstein states, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. The first quote in Science and Health says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Know means to understand. How do we understand? We have to prove it. As already mentioned in this recording, understanding means we have proven it to be true for ourselves. Certainly, Mr. Rawson proved for himself long before he made the statement that is quoted by his friend. Mr. Rawson is too humble himself, but his friend is the one that told us about the incident. about healing the man that had the load of rocks dumped on top of him. Here's what Einstein stated about science and health and Mary Baker Eddy. First of all, he said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. Now, she discovered Christian Science in 1866. So if he's stating it exactly what he meant at 80 years, that would be 1946. And he's saying, imagine, she discovered this 80 years ago. What did she discover? He gives us another couple of sentences. Blessed art thou, referring to Mary Baker Eddy, because all that is in this book, referring to the textbook, Science and Health, with the key to the scriptures. He also said, if Christian Science is studied systematically and methodically and scientifically, that it heals. His friend, Dr. Underwood, was on the Atomic Energy Commission, and everyone that was doing that research passed on from radiation, except his friend, Dr. Underwood. So he asked him, he said, how is it that everyone is dead, except for you? He said, I am a student of Mary Baker Eddy, her writings, and I was healed through Christian Science. From then on, Einstein's schedule included spending quiet time in a Christian Science reading room, which is like a private library, and he attended church. He came out of church one day and told the usher, he says, you people don't have any idea what you have here. He also made the statement that science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. You see, the reason he appreciated Christian Science was because it was both science and religion. In other words, it was a way of life that was scientific, but also spiritual. And there's not another religion on planet Earth that is science and religion. And not only that, Christian Science is the only religion with a systematic, scientific way to heal, where everyone can do it. Nothing Jesus did was a miracle. It is all explained in great detail in Christian Science. This is what Mary Baker Eddy states on page 146 of the textbook. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Think of disease as being anything that is discordant, a dis-ease, anything that is out of balance, any problem whatsoever. Doesn't matter how it's classified. Could be classified as sin, sickness, disease, a pandemic, even death. They're all something that is not in accordance with what Genesis chapter 1 describes as the revelation presented by God. On page 330, Mary Baker Eddy states this: when the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. Now, those 32 planks are provided with the complete text on each one of them from pages 330 to pages 340 in the textbook of Science and Health. So 11 pages, it gives us what must be understood in order to demonstrate Christian Science. 32 topics covered completely in 11 pages, right in the middle of the textbook. It's 700 pages long, and this is page 330 to 340. If you're curious, but wondering how this is possible, then read the last 101 pages of the textbook, entitled Fruitage, pages 600 to 700. 85 different individuals had 486 healings between the 85 of them. So each one had multiple healings, on the average, 5 or 6 or 7. They were probably thinking about one thing that they would like to get solved in their life, and they ended up solving everything there was that they didn't even think about. It just happened because of their spiritualization of consciousness, and they were living Christian Science. They were praying without ceasing. They were living Christian Science. They were watching what they were thinking. Shakespeare, in the second quote, says, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." That's the second quote at the very beginning of the textbook. And the third quote from Mary Baker Eddy says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." She is talking about God. And what is her prayer? To pray without ceasing. She is living her prayer. She is living the thoughts that she knows about God, about man. Mathematics has 10 elements, which are the 0 through 9 digits, and it has 4 operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Music has the 8 notes, A through G, plus the 5 that are the sharps and flats. Chemistry has all of their elements and their laws and rules and operators, and everything does. Every single thing does. A homemaker, doesn't matter. You need to know how to operate what you're doing. No matter what anyone is doing, there's a principle involved. And you're expressing the divine principle of God every time you are following a principle to perfection that is based on something good, where you're blessing all those that are concerned. That's the good that we do and embody. It has to be blessing everyone. We have to be living the golden rule. That's one of the tenets of Christian Science. Living the golden rule. That's number six. Part of number six. The medical industry will come up with a name for anything that seems to be a problem. In fact, in many cases, it's been proven that they are the cause of the problem. These vaccines, they actually put into the vaccines things to make people ill. It's proven. You can do research as long as you don't use Google. Google is very corrupt. Been proven to be very corrupt. You need to use an uncensored search engine. The one we use is Yandex, Y-A-N-D-E-X. And we have a link at the bottom of every page of the website where you can go directly to that search engine. Even in the material world, they have come up with solutions for probably everything that could be classified as a sickness or disease. But it's suppressed by the medical industry. And the honest individual that discovered the cure has his character disparaged. In many cases, their lives have been ruined. They've been forced into bankruptcy, and they've not been allowed to be given a patent on it or bring it to market. We have all the free electricity that planet Earth could use, as discovered by Nikola Tesla 125 years ago or so. He could never bring it to market because the corrupt electrical industry didn't want to go out of business. They wanted to continue milking the public dry with their high cost they were charging for electricity, when in fact it could be free. There's probably some cost for being able to regulate it and convert it to use in your individual home and so forth, but that's minor compared to what we're paying for electricity. In fact, President Trump has indicated that by the end of 1 year after he gets in office, in 2 weeks from now, 10 days, he says he will have the energy cost in America down by 50%, your electric bill in your home. By 50%. So what happens is the medical industry creates a disease, they give it a name, they promote it on the media, they create the fear, and they create the industry that treats you for it, usually that never gives a cure. It just goes on and on and on with treatment. One of the crises that was identified by President Trump was an opioid crisis, where everyone is addicted to taking drugs from the medical industry. I don't mean drugs from the cartels. I'm talking about drugs that are supposed to be cures. And they never cure. They're just addictive. Bleeding the public dry. Some of the things that have been publicized about the dumbing down of America in variety of ways about delayed learning or limitation on learning, put people into a state of fear after they use the media for repetition purposes, to pound it into the individual thoughts until the people believe that it's true. I know of a case where someone was born and they were given the label with characteristics that says that they would never be able to learn in a normal way, and they would be very limited in what they could learn, and some of their features of learning would never work, and their body structure would be very specifically designated that, yeah, they're one of these people that have a problem of learning. They even have Special Olympics that are named with the word special, indicating that these are people that have disabilities, physical, mental, whatever. So they promote it, even in recreation, like the Olympics. This case I'm referring to, they went to a practitioner when the child was very young, I don't know, maybe 2 years old or something, 3 years old. And the practitioner very wisely said, the first thing to do is teach him how to read. She says, don't worry about what the doctor said when the child was born, that they'd never be able to do the things I'm going to tell you to do. But just do it. Teach them how to read. So that's exactly what they did. They studied every day with the child out of the Bible and Science and Health, the daily lesson sermon. They bought a set of classic books that were for children. I think they said there were like 26 books in the classic library. The child learned how to read all of them, loved it. The key was they had to treat the child like anyone else would be treated. Never as if the child had any kind of mental or physical disability whatsoever. And that's what they did. The child loved gymnastics, did somersaults like forwards and backwards, cartwheels, an avid swimmer. They taught the child how to play the piano. You know, they had teachers and tutors and things that were involved. And the child could play any hymn in the hymnal that was up to like three sharps and three flats. This was in a period of like 3 years, from knowing nothing about music to being able to play like that. Rode a bicycle, loved it. Would get on public transportation at the age of, I don't know, 8 or 10, and go across town, which was like 30 minutes away, and go to an ice skating rink and enjoy the time there and get on the bus and come home. The structure of their face changed from being what the doctors described was normal for that problem to a normal bone structure. MMP are the initials for mental malpractice. We are our own worst enemy. Our only enemy. Because everything about ourselves and everything about everyone else is strictly based on our own thought about it. The other person might not even have any idea that we don't like them. Mary Baker Eddy wrote an article, Love Your Enemies, and she says, who is thine enemy except who we think in our thought is our enemy? It's up to us. Shakespeare gives us the clue, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Any disease is real or unreal based on how we think about it. Do you think Jesus accepted anyone that had a problem to be someone that had a problem? To be someone that was defective? His disciples asked him about this one person. They said, who do you think caused this, him or his parents? And Jesus replied that neither he or his parents. And the only reason for this to be here and to be brought to our attention is for us to glorify God. And so that's what Jesus did. And of course, the result was healing, where no one could look upon the individual as having a problem because it was healed. The right attitude is critical in bringing about a healing. The four operators in Christian Science are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. And the Word means the facts about God. The Christ means translating whatever the physical appearance is and seeing the situation from a spiritual viewpoint, flawless. Christianity means proving that you understand the facts about God, which is the Word, and that you did the translation properly, which is the Christ, and then you prove it. You demonstrate it. You bring forth the healing, the spiritual birth, the new view. You prove it to be true. And that changes the consciousness of everyone that is viewing the situation. Yourself, the individual, and anyone else that might be thinking of that individual as being less than the perfect idea of God. Not being the compound idea that is described in the glossary on page 591 that was read earlier in this recording. We have to have the right attitude. Jesus went into the area of Galilee when he started his healing mission. And he had a very difficult time having any healings at all, because they had the wrong attitude. They were thinking of him as a carpenter or as a small boy. They didn't realize he was a messenger from God that had an immaculate mother who birthed him without any father being involved. She had to be very spiritual in her nature in order to be able to be the mother of Jesus. She wasn't just any individual. She was a very specially, spiritually minded individual. Another thing that is extremely important to bring forth healing is to live a life of love, which is giving. The Bible says we should tithe, which means a tenth part, which means 10, the number 10, 10%. how much have you given of your income, no matter what it is? You could have an income of $10 billion a year, $50 billion, or $10, or $50, or anywhere in between. How much have you devoted to helping other people? Forget about giving it to a church. Almost every church is totally corrupt. There's a few of them out there probably that are wholesome, but nearly everything is totally corrupt. So giving it to the church is like throwing it in the trash can. It's like feeding evil. Like I say, that's most of them. You're better off finding the people that are in need or the event that is suffering that is a wholesome benefit for the benefit of humanity and making the donation directly. And the donation might be different. It may not be money. It might be helping them find a job if they're unemployed. Giving an unemployed person money may be an immediate emergency solution that is easy for you, but does it solve the problem? They are in need, or the event is in need for probably a much deeper reason than what is obvious on the surface. Your job should be to find out what it is, to see if you can be involved in helping it be solved. Mary Baker Eddy says she makes strong demands on love. I'll bet she didn't throw money away just to be giving. We have to use intelligence in everything we're doing. Are we giving because we want to solve a problem? Are we giving because we think we are obligated to do it? If you're giving because you think it's an obligation, you're not really giving, and probably what you give is not going to do any good. Or it's certainly not going to be any long-term assistance. If there's a problem, the problem needs to be solved. Mary Baker Eddy says you should never end the day without clearing and closing any problem that needs to be solved. We really should face any problem as soon as it appears and immediately work on solving it. Sam Walton certainly knew how to give. He perfected having a retail store not by magic, but by hard work. He went around to all the other stores to see what they were doing, to learn anything he could learn that he thought would be a good thing to do. He offered a refund policy that was something never heard of in the industry before. Bring anything back, anytime, for any reason. The only question you might ask is this defective so that it needs to be returned to the manufacturer? Or is it just some other reason, which is up to you, whether you tell us or not? We just want to know if it's defective, so we don't put it back up on the shelf. Every day has 1,440 minutes in it. How much are you giving for your spiritual advancement? Where you seriously study to learn and improve your spiritual understanding? And are you living what you learn? Are you praying without ceasing? By living the new things you've learned. Are you looking up every single word that you don't absolutely thoroughly understand? So many times we look up a word that we even think we understand, and we find a new meaning that sheds new light on what we're reading. If you utilize the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, which has been republished, reprinted, thanks to some very wonderful people, he gives Bible references on a large number of words in his dictionary. So even if you know the word well, it's worth it to look it up just to see what quote he gives where it's utilized in the Bible. How about your talents? Do you have a special talent? Most people do. Most people have a profession or an avocation that they could teach ones that are interested that don't have the money to pay for it. There are many ways to give. And remember, the Bible says tithe, a tenth part. I would assume that means for the average person. Do you consider yourself average? Are you happy being average? Are you happy being just one of the sheep that does what all the others in the herd does? Or one of the birds that's just one of the flock? You have to decide where you want to be based on your standard. And if you're happy there, then that's where you are. You're working out your own salvation. It's not my business. No one else's business. But if you're thinking about being a B student or an A student in your spiritual growth, or an A-plus student, then don't be limited to 10% of anything. Richard Strain was having a very difficult time working 18 hours a day. And he was making no progress. He went to a practitioner, said, "Well, how much are you studying?" He said, "I don't have time to study. I'm working 18 hours a day." She said, "If you don't study 5 hours a day, forget about using Christian Science. It's not going to get you where you want to go." He had a very hard decision to make because he couldn't figure out how he would do it. But he made the commitment. He says, "Okay, I'm going to do it." That was after grinding it around in his thought for some period of time while he was sitting there with the practitioner. Doesn't say how long. It could have been 1 minute. It could have been an hour. But she said nothing until he made the decision. And it wasn't her decision to make. It was his. She was just patiently sitting there till he decided what he was going to do. So it's up to us. 5 hours is what she recommended for him. It depends on whether you want to live the life of Christian Science or not. Whether you want to live the life of spiritual progress. Whether you want to have any permanence in your life, or you just want to come and go. Do you want to just accept limitations that have been imposed on you by other people? Or do you want to break the mold? Do you want to peck open the shell? Do you want to be out of the box? Are you active in your community, trying to improve whatever needs to be improved? If your street has a big pothole in it that can wreck your car, you just go around it every day? Or do you try to do something to get it fixed? You go see the people that are responsible and try to get something done? Are we just a passive individual? Or are we alive, vivacious, with vitality, and always questioning? Do we want to be in reality or unreality? Spirit or matter? Mortal mind or divine mind? Life or death? Love or hate? Principle or chaos? Are we satisfied with just using a material aspect of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling? Or are we interested in the spiritual aspect? Mary Baker Eddy defines spiritual sight as spiritual discernment. Discernment means to know what you're looking at. Know the difference between right and wrong, true and false. Hearing is spiritual understanding. Do we understand what we're hearing? We can hear in many different ways. Are we aware of divine consciousness, which is spiritual feeling? How about intuition of character? That's spiritual smell. And spiritual taste is relish of truth. We have all this on the website. Just look up under 5 spiritual senses in the menu. Those are all qualities of soul. Every single moment, we have a decision to make. How are we going to use the moment? Mary Baker Eddy says, the biggest difference between success and failure is how we use the moment. Which way are you going to go? Down the path of spirit or down the path of matter? Are you looking for a long-term, permanent improvement? Or you just want a quick fix, which is over very quickly and has no meaning in the long term? And since it has no meaning in the long term, you're really going backwards. Life is moving forward whether you participate or not. So if you do nothing, then you're really going in reverse. There's something else you need to be aware of if you want spiritual healing and spiritual progress, and that is that you must give proper credit to whomever did what. So you can't separate Jesus from his position, which is the Son of God and the way shower and the greatest man that ever trod the globe. And I'm sure there's many other things you could think of. Master healer. The point is, you need to give credit to whomever does anything that is good. It could be your neighbor. You see them do something good, thank them for it. They may have groomed their landscape around their home, and as a result, the neighborhood looks better. Do you thank the clerk when you check out of a store? If they smiled? If they said hello, good morning, whatever? We have an infinite number of opportunities to give. There are opportunities multiple times a day, and if you choose correctly, you will be able to make a major dimensional difference in your life, which automatically affects all with whom you have relationships with. I'm extremely grateful to anyone who has had a positive impact on my life or have presented a challenge that have given me an opportunity to grow. Every problem gives us an opportunity to grow. So if someone is giving a problem that seems to be attacking you, it's an opportunity. Remember Shakespeare. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. There have been many in Christian Science and many books that I've read, all of which I'm grateful for and have given me opportunities. And I look forward to every opportunity in the future to grow. And as mentioned, that includes everything that appears to be negative at first sight. I'm sincerely grateful for Mary Baker Eddy giving us the system of divine metaphysics, reducing Christian Science and divine metaphysics to a system with a structure that can be learned in a scientific and systematic way. And all the other ones that have provided writings to us and audios. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be recording these messages that come to me extemporaneously to share with the world, with the intent that they are to injure no one and bless all mankind. Since the theme of this recording is on matter versus spirit, real versus unreal, and so forth, I will close by reciting the scientific statement of being. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Amen.